some interesting theories today on the news, according to me. Well, folks, I am, I don't know what's going on with my voice right now. It is a little bit muffled, and I'm not sure why. I've been trying to clear my throat here, but I digress. You didn't call to ask about. You didn't call. You didn't call at all. You didn't tune into this podcast to listen to my explanation of my voice. You called in to this podcast, even though you didn't call in. You're just listening to the podcast. I don't know why I'm talking about calling in. So I'm just going to keep that genre going. You know, you're a caller. You called in because you wanted to know what was in my cup. First of all, let me tell you about my cup a little bit here. I've got a styrofoam cup. I know that freaks out some of you green people out there. It's filled with sweet tea. It's a little short cup. It's probably only 5 inches tall, but it's about 4 inches around. I don't know why this is like a to-go cup. I expected to have a regular cup, the to-go cup, because I went down to a little place down here called Spondivitz. It's a little locally owned place. They've got seafood and all kinds of stuff. It's not necessarily cheap, but it is good food from what I can tell. I had the catch of the day, which was grilled salmon with rice. And then I had corn on the cob. I had a choice of corn on the cob or broccoli, I think. And I chose the corn on the cob because I could. So that's what I had. And of course, I got sweet tea with that because it's Atlanta. I'm in Atlanta right now, which is why there hasn't been a show. I spent all day yesterday traveling, and that was, it was traumatic. 12 hours of driving to get down here. I didn't fly. We'll be flying home over the weekend and coming back again probably Sunday night. That's the plan, or possibly Monday morning. I don't know yet. We'll see how it goes. And regardless of all that, I am now in Atlanta. So I have this little, I've been kind of just looking at how everything is playing out. And maybe I have talked about this before, but I'm starting to get this, and I think I actually started to describe what I was expecting to have happen here in the as things are going to unfold. Now, this is all conjecture. It's all theory. However, one could say it is, if it turns out to be prophetic, I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be that or not, because I really do have this nagging sense that this is probably something like this is going to happen. And I don't understand it really at all. And I'm not saying it's prophetic. I'm just saying maybe it may be just because I know the way the enemy operates. And when I'm talking about the enemy, I'm talking about the enemy of our soul, the spiritual enemy that we have, and how the world has, just the spirit of the age, if you want to call it that, the principality of the air, how the fulfillment of the selfish nature of man tends to operate, and how the enemy manipulates that and uses that to get his way, which is to destroy all mankind. He can't destroy God, so he's going after the thing that is nearest and dearest to God's heart, which is his children, the people he's created in his likeness. The way this is unfolding is very interesting, and I keep hearing people say more and more things about this is very sinister, this is very creepy, this is very strange, about the way everything is unfolding before us here. Keep in mind, we are in a time where we have I think that the end of time, the end of days, this apocalypse type thing, the way we kind of had envisioned some things happening. Of course, we've all seen the movies based on what the scripture says. But it's always this Western interpretation of what Revelation says that I've heard more of than anything else. And I think we get caught up in that sometimes, and we kind of forget how different and other things unfold sometimes compared to how we thought that they might unfold. The Jews did not even recognize their Messiah when he showed up at their, right in front of them. And the second time that he comes back, they probably will. But that we believe that at that point there will be a recognition of who he is. However, we are no different in terms of being people and being deceived and being able to be, just wrong, flat out wrong in our theology or our doctrine, our thinking about envisioning what's going to happen, because we have this idea based on, Left Behind or whatever it is that we've watched or heard from Western culture theology. And I can't help but think that this is a time in which we are very quickly understanding as I've said before, receiving this vaccine may not be the mark of the beast. However, if you look at it for just as a common denominator factor type thing, the spirit of this thing is definitely the same spirit that would be involved in, just look at the way it's playing out, the same spirit that would be involved in receiving the mark of the beast. It's not just going to be some kind of, some leader's going to pop up on the scene and say, okay, now everyone's going to receive the mark of the beast, and I'm going to do this to you now. I think people would recoil from that. It will be a very deceptive thing. It will be dressed up in potentially a good thing, a healthy thing, a thing for society that everyone must participate in. Sound familiar? All you have to do is just accept this mark. That's all you got to do. I'm hearing people say, just get the shot. Just all you got to do is get the shot. Just take the shot. No big deal. What are you, scared of needles? You're afraid of needles? It's just, I'm hearing lots of things like that. And other people are saying, you're really going to give up your job because of over a shot? Just get the shot. Yeah, that's today. What's tomorrow? Oh, just take the mark. Just keep on operating the way you want. They'll get off your back. Go about your business. It is, and what is amazing to me, this is where it gets really amazing to me, is that the general public, that so many in the general public, are on board with pushing others, shaming others, not respecting their liberty, not respecting their choice, but pushing them into this. And it's at the point of hysteria. If you don't have the shot, if you aren't vaccinated, you're one of the walking dead. You're a zombie. You're spreading. This is because we keep hearing this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated, as we're being told by our former vice president. This continues to happen, and it continues to be troubling, to say the least, that so much of society is going along with this. Because they're blaming, the thing that they're going along with is that they're blaming the unvaccinated for the spread of the virus. Just everybody gets the vaccine, we'll get this behind us. Pete Buttigieg just said it the other day. He said, we'll just everybody get vaccinated, and we'll get this thing. We'll look at this thing in our rearview mirror. We'll get this pandemic behind us. No, that's not what's going to happen. I don't know why. I just heard a report the other day by Casey Hendricks. He's a local broadcaster in my area up in Indiana. He's very good numbers, does a very good job of studying the numbers, looking at CDC reports, and just reporting on all those things from CDC, FDA, World Health Organization, reports that come out from other news organizations that report on different studies and the studies themselves. He goes through all this stuff really well. He does a very good job of scouring through that information. I don't know how much of it he does himself or how much of it is just show prep, but he does have, I don't know, you know, he's got to have some kind of resources for organizing all that. But nevertheless, he has a really good, does a really good job of putting it together and communicating it. And here's where it gets weird to me. I'm hearing people say numbers of 99% or 95% effective when it comes to talking about the vaccine. They're still talking like the vaccine is, you know, you're far better off with the vaccine than you are with no vaccine. Now, in terms of initial COVID hospitalizations, this is most likely true from what I have gathered and what I can tell. However, I believe that trend is changing. Some of the areas who were vaccinated first and some of the areas that are most vaccinated, the highest populations of vaccinated per capita, are now seeing something very different. Vaccinated hospitalizations are overtaking unvaccinated percentages. And the booster, if you think that a third booster is going to be the end, it's not going to be the end. There's going to be another booster. The booster is a third shot. There's going to be a fourth and a fifth. And what they're not telling you, and this is where I start to question what is going on, is that it is very likely, and this happened. Now, a certain percentage of the population is going to be fine with the vaccine. Everything's going to be fine. But there's going to be, in my opinion, an unspeakable large number of individuals who are going to see a decline in their immune systems to fight this thing off. And it's going to have a reverse effect. I don't know what all the names of this kind of thing are. I know that that there are some doctors out there who are some specialists out there who are talking about what this could potentially lead to. What really, really bothers me about all this is that they are not being honest with us. That's what concerns me more than anything. Why are they censoring people? Why are they lying to us about numbers? Why are they making things up and continuing with a narrative that is not true? All of that causes me to distrust this entire process. If they were honest and if they were saying, look, we may lose 10% of the population due to the vaccine, but we're not going to lose 20% due to the. Is it one of those? Just be honest with us. And that is what they have not been from the very beginning. Fauci telling us not to wear masks. And then later saying, well, I had to tell you not to wear masks because I was trying to protect the frontline workers. No, that's not the way you do it when you talk to adults. You tell the adults, masks do help to some degree, but we need to do everything we can to protect the frontline workers. Therefore, if you buy masks, give them to frontline workers. We need to let the frontline workers get the masks first. That's the way you talk to an adult. You don't come out and lie to them and then later on tell them the truth and expect them to believe anything you say after that. Because that's right there epitomizes everything about this guy. I'd like to play a clip of Joe Rogan talking to Sanjay Gupta. Because it's very telling in terms of his bias and what he, you know, how he's so blind because of his bias toward a certain narrative. He can't even hear Joe talk. Joe is telling him about this study that was done on boys from 12 to 15 years old. They were 27 times more likely to have complications from the vaccine than they were if they had COVID. Now, they were making an apples-to-apples comparison. 86% of the cases needed some hospital attention. We're talking about serious complications. Not just saying, oh, they had complications, they had, you know, their arm puffed up. That's not what we're saying. We're saying they had serious complications that led to going to the hospital. 86% of these cases that we're talking about. If they would have gotten COVID, he wasn't talking about the chances of getting COVID. He was saying the comparison between getting COVID and taking the vaccine was 27 times higher that you were going to have complications from the vaccine in boys ages 12 to 15. That is what the study says. And he was quoting this to Sanjay, and Sanjay was trying, just didn't want to believe it. He didn't even come out and say, I don't believe it. He just continued to say, well, but that's this or that. And it's like, no, that's not, the study says this. You're not listening to me. This is what it said. And it was shocking to see someone who supposedly is an expert in a network television program that he didn't understand. He hadn't even heard of some of these studies that had been out. It's now we're finding out also in the numbers, which I don't believe are even accurate, that it's potentially it's possible that breakthrough cases. They're saying breakthrough cases are only 1 to 2%. That's got to be a flat-out lie. It has to be. You can't tell us that a vaccine is 90% effective. That's an extremely high efficacy rate, 95%. Well, that means that 5% of the people who have been vaccinated should be getting, they should be susceptible to the virus. If it's only 95% effective. If only 1 to 2% of the people who've been vaccinated are getting COVID, then that means it's 98 to 99% effective. And it's not. People are still living in this delusion. When they start saying that the vaccine is only 60% and it drops off after a couple months to 40% effective, that means 60% of the vaccinated population could potentially get COVID. That's how effective it is. So when they come out and say they're safe and effective, safe and effective, safe and effective, you keep hearing them repeat that. It's safe and effective. The vaccine is safe and effective. Well, first of all, we know it's not effective. Otherwise, you wouldn't have to have a booster. Secondly, if they're lying about the effectiveness of this thing, then how do they know it's safe? And how many people have actually died from this thing or had serious complications? Because they're covering those numbers up too. And that really bothers me. It infuriates me. I just spoke with a guy today, recently had a report of a young 19-year-old girl admitted to the hospital for a drug overdose, having heart complications from a drug overdose, supposedly fentanyl. Come to find out, she just had her second COVID vaccination 2 days prior. It's very questionable now whether or not that the call was she must have been overdosing. I don't even know if she was taking any drugs at all, for that matter. That's where they're going with it. The real question about this, and it's going to be real interesting to see what ends up happening and unfolding here in the next week or so, because the time to get your shots, it basically is a month from December 8th for all federal employees. The religious exemptions are falling apart. Now, my question is it really a good idea to go down that road of religious exemption? First of all, my company's asking for that. I think the people are preparing it. My company hasn't actually put it out. This company I work for, they haven't put out a mandate yet. They're waiting to see what the Office of Management and Budget define, because they're a subcontractor to another contractor that does business with the federal government, which is an awful lot of people out there, awful lot of small businesses even. And the question here now is whether or not there will be a mass walkout, or will people cave into this thing? So here's my theory on what is about to happen. They're rushing and pressing people, everybody, to get the vaccine. I think there's a reason for that. Personally, I think that somebody out there has an agenda. I think a lot of people are just on the trail to get everybody vaccinated because they think they want to get this thing behind us. That's what their motivation is. Let's just do this. Got to push everybody into it. You got to do it, or you're just stupid. You don't believe the science. No, you're the one ignoring the science because you're not paying attention to the science. You're listening to the rhetoric and the narrative. That's not science. We're squelching some of the scientists. It's not science. The process of all of this is, at some point, it's going to become obvious that this thing is falling apart. Great. Let's just see how this scenario would play out. Here's how I think it would go down. We start to discover that people are having adverse reactions, or that there is mass sterilization going on with individuals getting pregnant, having children, that the fertility rate's going down. We discover that immune systems are collapsing, that a cancer is breaking out, or some other kind of virus rides on the back of this thing. Because the bodies that have been vaccinated somehow create this super bug that now cannot be. There's been articles about this. This isn't some kind of crazy idea. There's been articles about this idea that this could potentially lead to a super bug with people being vaccinated. This is like people who are pro-vaccine, one of the big concerns. And the papers have been written by the WHO and the CDC for many, many years about the potential for an mRNA vaccine to create this kind of a virus that we cannot create a vaccine for. We get to the point where we find a virus that is actually completely unaffected by any kind of vaccine. If this happens, there will be mass hysteria in terms of anger at the government, the people who created this thing. Now, they will not allow that to happen, in my opinion. When you have big tech in their pocket, and big tech will swoop in and protect them, they will not allow anybody to talk about it, and if you do, you'll be silenced. The last thing you will probably hear on a transmission from a TV or a radio station or on the internet is the unvaccinated have caused this. And then there will be some kind of EMP strike, or something will happen from some other country, catch us off guard, and the whole country will go dark. and all there will be is hearsay and rumors. And you know how those go. And of course, the last thing you heard from any official people was that the people who were bringing this upon us were the unvaccinated. So now all of a sudden, they're the villains, and everything goes dark. It doesn't take long, then, for those who are unvaccinated to be vilified, treated as second-class citizens, and run out of town. And then we're just being fed information in one direction. We can't talk to each other because the entire internet system and communication system is shut down. And we wake up to the cold, hard reality of the fact that we are all learning Chinese, Mandarin, or Russian. This is the potential I'm concerned about. Because there will be a great deception, a great delusion. Scripture talks about the great delusion, basically, that sweeps over all the people, even Christians, in some extent. I use the word Christians as believers in name only, basically. Binos, we call them that. They might attend a church. They don't, you know, they're really not disciples. They're not really believers. They're born into a Christian family or a Catholic family. They don't really have any kind of they've never had an experience, a heart-changing testimony. They're aware of the church, and they might have a membership at a church even, but they don't, not really, that's not really not their life. It's just fire insurance. And these individuals, of course, can be swayed by all the social whims and social ideals. And what I've found is that most of the people on the left, for them, government is the answer to all of our problems. And the government basically becomes their god, in a sense. It's their religion. Democracy is their religion, or socialism is their religion. It's the answer to all the world's problems. After all, if there's something wrong with capitalism, if there's anything at all wrong with capitalism, then socialism is the answer. It's, you know, supposedly better, because if there's one flaw in capitalism, then socialism is the answer for everything. Tear it all down and start socialism, because, you know, that's always worked. Well, you know, like Norway, democratic socialism. Still socialism. Whether it's democratic or not, it's still socialism. It doesn't matter whether it's imposed by a dictator or voted in. It becomes the mob, the majority become the dictator. Individual liberty is so incredibly important and such a precious part of what our republic is about. And it is absolutely being trampled on. In fact, to the point where I don't think anybody going through school nowadays, normal high school, public school, has any understanding of what personal liberty, individual liberties, and individual sovereignty is. I'm sure they haven't heard that term. I didn't hear it going through high school. And that was 50 years ago. Well, 45, 50 years, yeah. I guess what I'm trying to comprehend here is that I'm an old man. That's what I'm trying to figure out, how old I really am. Been around a while. So I've said all this just basically to say this. We are experiencing a moment in our society that I don't think even 9/11 was nearly as traumatic as what we've gone through as a nation in the last couple of years. It was all ramped up initially by the social unrest that was being unleashed upon our nation and just excused and let go, and as if it was a normal thing that should happen. It's a good thing. Well, I don't see these riots are mostly peaceful. Over $1 billion worth of damage. Mostly peaceful. Things that are peaceful usually don't cause that much damage. And then get excused away. You know, they do less than $100,000 worth of damage at the White House, at the Capitol building. And that's, you know, that's the worst attack we ever had on our nation since the Civil War. Again, more lies, more hysteria, more spreading of the the rhetoric and the narrative. This kind of thing comes back to bite you because it divides our country. It doesn't unify us to anything. And unfortunately, the folks that we have on, the rhinos that we have on the right, are just bending backwards over this stuff. They're not standing up to anything. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And you know, they want to meet halfway. They want to be moderate. They want to be centrists. No, that's not where the truth is. Truth isn't in the center somewhere. You don't compromise with lies and deceit. You just don't make those compromises. And that's what's gotten us here to where we are now. That's why we are in the situation we are in now, because of the compromise. This has been, and I've said it before, I'll say it again, the way they operate. They draw the line in the sand. They call that the center. And then they move really far left of that. And they say, well, meet us halfway. So the court, okay, I want to be a centrist. So they move halfway. And now we've redrawn the line. Then they move further left. And the game starts all over again. Now all of a sudden the center has moved to the left. And it continues to happen that way. And before long, you've gone down this road, miles and miles and miles down the road that you never intended to go down. Because you were continually caving, compromising, being a centrist. Look at Joe. Everybody voted for him because they thought he was a centrist. 81 million people supposedly voted for this guy because they thought he was a centrist. I think there were several million of those people who weren't thinking at all because they don't exist. But that's what happened there. But there's no widespread voter fraud. Yeah, whatever. So this is what's going on. Now, of course, people continue to just go about their lives and think everything's going to be jolly, jolly good. We all know better. So I want to try to conclude this. And I don't know how to do it in a positive way. I'm sorry for that. I haven't been the idea guy lately. I haven't been the guy who's been on the positive side of anything here lately. I've been presenting what looks like a lot of doom and gloom. And I just want to make sure I reiterate that this is the seriousness of the times we live. However, it doesn't mean that there can't be joy in your heart. I'm concerned about the people around me. I'm concerned about those who are going to go through this stuff. And at the same time, I know that there is hope for us. I'm not concerned about protecting my way of life. I'm concerned about protecting the way of life for others. In fact, I've chosen not to go down the religious exemption route. I'm not going to play on their turf, on their game on their turf, by their rules. I'm going to go after this in a way that's more about individual liberty. If I have to take this to the Supreme Court, I will. I don't trust the SCOTUS right now. I don't trust the Supreme Court. But I'm going to go down that road of legislation because it will do more than just help me. If I get a religious exemption accepted, that's great for me. Look at me. I got the exemption. Sorry for the rest of you. It's not going to help anybody else out. Which, by the way, if there's some kind of religious exemption that they're going to approve, that means that they've now become the orator of the of doctrine. They become the official theologists, theologians, to approve or disapprove of your religion and what your beliefs are and what the tenets of your faith are, and how long you've been living that, whether or not you're sincere about it or not. Who are they to judge your sincerity? Don't give them that power. Well, don't put them in that position. So I am going to do this for the sake of others. Geno sounds, well, gallant and everything, but it's just where I've landed on this. Folks, I hope you have a great day, great evening. God bless. Continue to pray for our nation. And we will move through this together. I'll be back on here tomorrow sometime. Probably. Once again, God bless. Thanks for listening.